the Memorare. Remember, O most gracious Virgin Mary, that never was it known that anyone who fled to your protection, implored your help, or sought your intercession was left unaided. Inspired by this confidence, I fly to you, O Virgin of Virgins, my Mother. To you I come, before you I stand, sinful and sorrowful. O Mother of the Word Incarnate, despise not my petitions, but in your mercy, hear and answer me. Amen.
All across the Gulf South,
it's 7 a.m.
Time to wake up
on Catholic Community Media.
Good morning. You're listening to Wake Up on this beautiful Tuesday morning. You are tuning your heart to the truth. I'm Gabby Smith, along with Damian Collado and David Dawson. Hey, guys. Happy Tuesday.
Good morning.
Happy Tuesday indeed.
Yes, it's Tuesday of Holy Week.
It's a soggy one here, that's for
well,
sure.
Yeah. It's soggy a lot of places, but it won't last. We'll get into that in a moment.
Yeah.
But right now, as we always do, we like to start our morning off with a prayer, today being the feast day of St. Catherine of Genoa. In the name of the Father, Son, Holy Spirit, amen. Gracious God, reveal to your church the depths of your love, that like your servant Catherine of Genoa, we might give ourselves in loving service, knowing that we have been perfectly loved by you through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen.
Amen.
In the name of the Father, Son, Holy Spirit. Amen.
Oh, look, she's
St. Catherine of Genoa.
Pray for us.
She is the patron saint of brides, difficult marriages, widows, and temptations.
Wow. Interesting.
Wow. Okay, like yeah. Definitely
her story.
Not the topic.
Oh,
we
her
were...
story. Yeah, she
didn't sound like she had a good marriage.
She didn't for a long time, but then they kind of mended their ways.
Okay, good.
You'll hear about that in Saint of the Day.
Great.
Interestingly enough, though, she in her writings says purgatory actually starts here on Earth.
Really?
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Mm.
Wow, I have believe to check that.
And I can believe that.
Yeah, some days.
Oh, my goodness. Just open X. Okay, so we have a wonderful show for you today. We're starting off with some events in our listening area at 7 after. You can find all of these events at our website at ccmedia.live. In 18 minutes, Brian Butler joins us. He is the executive director of the Echo Community. And today we are talking about Catholics and dating. So an interesting conversation with Brian. We will get all the tips from him. In 35 minutes, Scott Smith joins us. He's a local attorney, Catholic attorney, and author, and he's written a number of books. Well, today he's going to be talking about his newest one on near-death experiences. Mm. So looking forward to hearing from Scott today. And in 48 minutes, John Young joins us. He is the executive director over at Franciscan Works in New Orleans, and he's going to be talking about their ministry and how they help others, especially those who need it the most, especially these days.
Mm-hmm.
So looking forward to hear that conversation from John. And Damian, looking forward to your weather report. What do you have for us?
Well, lingering rain continues to hang around, but it's light rain, to say the least. Won't last much longer. By mid-morning, it will be out of here, and I mean all along the Gulf South. And that's when the skies are going to open up to plenty of sunshine with a high of 78 today.
Ooh.
Winds are also going to die down as well, which is nice. They were rather windy yesterday, to say the least. But calming down with winds blowing out of the north-northwest at about 5 to 10, something we're all used to. And as I mentioned yesterday, it should be some very nice days ahead with the highs in the mid to upper 70s, lows in the or the low 80s, especially on Easter. So all those Easter egg hunts should be able to go off without a hitch. Temperatures in and around the area right now. In Gulfport, it's 59. 60 degrees in home at Thibodeau. Covington, 57. New Orleans, it's 59. And in Baton Rouge, it's raining still and 57 degrees.
It's raining as we speak.
So
I hear it on the roof.
That's what still means.
Golly, it's coming down.
Yeah, we can hear it. You bet. But with that being said, we're going to move forward and get our day started. Carry an umbrella with you or some rain gear if you're going to leave right about now in the Baton Rouge area for sure. In the meantime, we have your gospel and reflection coming your way and some events. It's 5 after all. Wake up.
Good Tuesday morning. I'm Father Chris Decker, and today's gospel is taken from John chapter 13. Reclining at table with his disciples, Jesus was deeply troubled and testified, "Amen, amen, I say to you, one of you will betray me." The disciples looked at one another at a loss as to whom he meant. One of his disciples, the one whom Jesus loved, was reclining at Jesus' side. So Simon Peter nodded to him to find out whom he meant. He leaned back against Jesus' chest and said to him, "Master, who is it?" Jesus answered, "It is the one to whom I hand the morsel after I have dipped it." So he dipped the morsel and took it and handed it to Judas, son of Simon the Iscariot. After Judas took the morsel, Satan entered him. So Jesus said to him, "What you are going to do, do quickly." Now none of those reclining at table realized why he had said this to him. Some thought that since Judas kept the money bag, Jesus had told him, "Buy what we need for the feast," or to give something to the poor. So Judas took the morsel and left at once, and it was night. When he had left, Jesus said, "Now is the Son of Man glorified, and God is glorified in him. If God is glorified in him, God will also glorify him in himself, and he will glorify him at once. My children, I will be with you only a little while longer. You will look for me, and as I told the Jews, where I go, you cannot come. So now I say it to you." Simon Peter said to him, "Master, where are you going?" Jesus answered him, "Where I am going, you cannot follow me now, though you will follow later." Peter said to him, "Master, why can I not follow you now? I will lay down my life for you." Jesus answered, "Will you lay down your life for me? Amen, amen, I say to you, the cock will not crow before you deny me 3 times. We've heard the gospel, and now we reflect.
Today's gospel focuses our attention on Judas's betrayal. Earlier, at the end of the Eucharistic discourse, John informs us Jesus knew from the first who it was that would betray him. Then, as disciples were turning back from Jesus, Peter declared that we, the apostles, have come to believe. But Jesus declared in response, "Did I not choose you, the 12, and one of you is a devil?" Then John added, "He spoke of Judas, the son of Simon Iscariot, for he, one of the 12, was to betray him." Judas's lack of faith in the Eucharist was his breaking point. But he didn't abandon Jesus like many other disciples, because he still had the opportunity to steal from the donations that were given to support Jesus' ministry. Nevertheless, he was aware of and probably anxious about the growing opposition to Jesus by the chief priests. The final breaking point came when Mary poured the expensive nard on Jesus' feet, eluding its value from his grasp. At this point, he went to the chief priest to betray Jesus. Ironically, he paid him 30 pieces of silver, the equivalent of a tithe in relationship to the value of that expensive nard, a tithe offered to the devil. Finally, at the Last Supper, after Jesus had eaten the morsel given to him by Jesus, John informs us that Satan entered into him. Could this be a reference to the first sacrilegious Holy Communion? We don't know. In any case, Jesus tells us that when Judas left, it was night, an apt depiction of Judas's soul. In the betrayal of Judas, we are given a tragic depiction of the rationalizations that lead to mortal sins, the mortal sins we have committed. However, Jesus still calls us friend, as he did to Judas in Gethsemane. Jesus is still knocking at the door of our heart, like a beggar asking to come in. So, what has begun badly, like Judas, need not end badly, like Judas. We can repent, like Peter, and then our crucified and resurrected Lord will fill us with his life and love. Have a wonderful day. This is Jimmy Sagers.
You go, Jimmy. You bet, brother. We always can repent and go to confession and clean our slate, and maybe we should do that during this Lenten season still, this Holy Week. In the meantime, we have some events we want to share with you. You're invited to join parishioners of St. Catherine of Siena in Metairie. They are going to do the annual 9-church walk this Good Friday, March 29th. That's going to be in New Orleans, of course. Participants will walk in imitating the way of the cross and praying one or two of the stations of the cross at one of the 9 historic churches along the route. The pilgrimage will begin at 8 o'clock for this particular group, and it's going to start at St. Stephen's Catholic Church and proceed to St. Henry, then Our Lady of Good Counsel, St. Mary's Assumption, St. Alphonsus, St. Mary's Chapel, St. Teresa of Avila, St. Patrick's, and conclude at Immaculate Conception. It's a great event, and one, if you have the opportunity and the time to participate, by all means do so. Also bring like a little rolling ice chest. That way you got some beverages with you and you can sip on along the way.
Yeah, we were just talking about it before the during the break. What a gift New Orleans has. Mm-hmm. This is like nobody else.
No.
The way you can spend half of your day on Good Friday walking the Passion and then going into these individual churches. What a gift.
Seeing how beautiful they are, too, if you've never been. And a lot of people haven't been to all these churches.
I highly recommend
it. Read them all as to where they were.
Yeah, that's great. Okay, the movie The Shroud of Turin will be shown on the big screen at St. Anne Catholic Church in Metairie on Transcontinental Drive on April 13th at 6 p.m. and then Sunday, April 14th at 1 p.m. Tickets are just $5 and those under 18 are free. Powerful, powerful testimonials and those stories too. I've been hearing them on the radio on Catholic Community Media, and these people are being interviewed who studied the shroud and everything. There's even more.
Wow,
that proof. Wow. So it just blows your mind, and it's caused a lot of conversions.
Nice.
Yeah. Yes. Amazing. Well, the Divine Mercy Choir will be singing the music of St. Faustina live in concert for 2 nights at St. Louis Cathedral in New Orleans on April 3rd and 4th at 7 p.m. This Divine Mercy Choir is from Lithuania, and Archbishop Gregory Amond and Father Patrick Williams invite everyone to attend the special concert event. You can go to ccmedia.live for more information.
Okay. And St. Ben's Abbey Open. That's right. It's a golf tournament coming up April 4th at Bayou Oaks and City Park. They're going to be playing on the South Course in New Orleans. $125 a golfer, $500 for a team. Shotgun start at 9, lunch at 1:30. The event is hosted by the St. Joseph Seminary College and Alumni Association. It goes to help support those young men in seminary. And if you want to learn more, go to ccmedia.live. We're moving right along. It's 15 after the hour on Wake Up.
This is Franciscan Media's Saint of the Day for March 26th. Today we celebrate Saint Catherine of Genoa. A deep conversion experience while in the confessional marked a new beginning for Catherine of Genoa, something she badly needed. Born into a noble family, Catherine was married at age 16 to Julian, who turned out to be self-centered and unfaithful. For a time, Catherine tried to numb her disappointment with selfish pleasure, but one day in confession, Catherine received a new sense of her sinfulness and how much God loved her. For the next 25 years, she immersed herself in good works as well as prayer and fasting. By reforming her own life, Catherine gave good example to Julian, who experienced his own conversion. Just as the pair were beginning to move in a new direction, they learned that Julian's spending sprees had ruined them financially. Husband and wife moved into a large hospital in Genoa, where they dedicated themselves to charity. Catherine focused on working as a nurse and administrator, heroically ministering to many during the deadly epidemic of 1493 that killed 80% of the city's population. Catherine died in 1510 and was canonized in 1737. There's more about the saints along with inspiration and Catholic resources at our website, saintoftheday.org. From Franciscan Media, this has been Saint of the Day.
It is 19 past the hour. You are tuning your heart to the truth. Well, it seems like every time I open my Netflix or my Hulu or any kind of streaming service, there's a new dating show, you guys. There's another, popular.
You mean like The Bachelor?
Love show.
Oh, where the young lady
it's
from
not just
New Orleans,
The Bachelor.
But the young lady from New Orleans was selected. That was the big news, right. Kelsey Anderson.
Well, Yeah, and Damien just spoiled it for all of you guys who didn't watch it last night. So, there's so much out there.
Oh yeah,
Brian Butler now joins us. Read it.
And you gained so much in relationship advice from these shows, I'm sure, right?
Of course.
Yeah. Yes. Oh yeah.
Well, and Brian Butler is here, you guys.
Oh, okay.
He is the executive director of the Echo Community to give us the top 10 ways to kill your dating life and miss the love of a lifetime. Brian, sometimes I don't think these dating shows are the way to go.
I think not.
But some people find success. But what can we do realistically as Catholics in our daily lives to find the love of our life? Good morning. Thanks for being with us.
Good morning, Gabby. Good morning, Damien. Good morning, David. I think we have to probably start with, I'm going to give you the top 10 ways, but we got to make an 11th now that you brought up this. I think you should just take all the advice that they tell you on TV.
That'll do it.
There you go.
You're right.
Oh, my goodness. Get us started, Brian.
I'm going to go 10 down to 1. And the 10th way is to just stay glued to your screen with your eyes down.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Like you definitely will miss
authentic
relationships if you stay glued to your screens and you prefer screens over people.
Yeah.
That's the spot to definitely miss authentic interaction. Number 9 is absolutely do not serve anyone. Do not sacrifice for anyone and make sure it's all about you.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah,
that's what you need. Yeah. If you want to make sure to not have somebody respect you and fall in love with you, just make everything about yourself and don't serve them at all.
So far, he's doing the saint of the day. So far, that's Saint Catherine of Genoa. I mean, that's
Number 8 is to go on pressurized, high risk dates. Definitely do any low risk dates. Keep them all high risk, very pressure filled. Act like you're about to marry them, or, you know, on the first date, and that will definitely kill everything for you.
I imagine so, yes.
Wow.
Number seven is just settle for 55% Mr. Right or 55% Mrs. Right. She might be 45% wrong, but if she's 55% right, that'll definitely kill everything.
Okay.
Oh my goodness, Brian! I have to stop you right here.
I have to stop you.
I see this in a lot of couples. They're in their 30s. Yeah. They have not found that person until they settle, and then they're miserable because they want to have kids, they want to have a family, and they feel like they can't find that person. The clock is ticking, and I have seen this time and time again. And whenever you talk to them, they're just so sad.
Oh.
So I'm so glad that you mentioned this because I don't think it's talked about enough. Don't settle.
Well, you got to think about it. If they're only 55 or 60% right, that means they're 45% wrong.
Mm-hmm.
And that is a failing grade. You know, if you're getting a 60 out of 100, that is an F.
Yeah.
But a lot of times you're right, Gabby, we start to feel the pressure and I'd rather settle for somebody than be left with nobody. That's the general idea that people have. And at that point, you're dating out of to get away from loneliness, and that's not a good. That's not a secure place to be.
Mm.
So,
all right.
Number 6 is to isolate, spend lots of time alone, and do not take any opinions of good friends, and definitely do not spend time with your family, and definitely do not spend time with great marriage role models. Just make it all about you and the person you're dating.
I see
that, Gabby, where the people like, I get excited about somebody and then just spend all the time with them and with no one else. And that's not a good vision of who they are and how you're going to live together. Because that's not the way that you live a love of a lifetime. Number 5 is to be impatient and unchaste before marriage. Just do whatever you want, whatever feels good. And this is a great prep for infidelity later.
Interesting.
Wouldn't you say, Gabby, when you started off with all these dating shows, that that's what a lot of it is?
The majority of it,
I would say that I have found because I watch them all, you guys, it's just a good turn your brain off, type show to watch. I have found that a lot of people are half and half, but where some will wait, some will not because it's a test drive theory why would you buy a car? That's what I've been hearing. Why would you buy a car without test driving it? But another part is if it's meant to be, it's meant to be. I've seen both sides. But it's the used culture, right, Brian? And then at the end, it's empty. It's not real. It's not authentic. And that's where people land.
Youth culture or used culture?
Used culture.
Yeah, because you're treating a person like a used car.
Absolutely.
Why the heck would you want to do that? Who? How many people really want to buy a used car? Right,
well,
Brian?
And you know, no. That's on Brian's list.
I know.
Absolutely.
But that's the point. Well, and actually, that's the one I think Satan enjoys the most.
He does, and this is the opposite of love. So St. John Paul II actually says that the opposite of love is not hate. It's using a person as a means to an end.
Wow.
And we have so many stories that are being portrayed online and in the movies and stuff like that and our social media, that's actually more youth stories than they are love stories.
Yeah.
Get excited and then just try to fill a hole inside of ourselves. And by using this other person, we actually do violence to them and to their own dignity, and we do violence to ourselves. In fact, we have some little wristbands that we give away in our ministry at Echo Community, and they say, love people and use things.
Yes, and you have the litany. You also distribute the litany of chastity.
Absolutely, that's a great resource. It's a free resource for people who are struggling, and they can get on the website there and get the litany of chastity. That's a great resource to also give away. In fact, that would be a good way to go ahead and share something early in your relationship. We'll pause on our list, Gabby, for a minute, but like, I do find a lot of couples don't want to talk about chastity until they're on their 10th date. And I think that actually, if you want to know where somebody stands, talk about it on your second or third.
Yeah, like, exactly.
Maybe your second. Like, go ahead and see early on what are their views about love and sexuality. Mm-hmm. And if they actually share your vision, then you've got some more space to go. But if they're in a completely other, you know, a completely different time zone than you, then it might be a quick signal to waste your time.
Absolutely.
It is important to communicate, especially at the beginning. Okay, I want to get through the list, Brian, before we run out of time. Right. Number four.
Yeah. Number four is be a very selfish, very self-centered friend. You know, not other-centered. You know, just make sure to look out for yourself. Number three is do not take healthy risks. If you fear it, don't do it. Don't stretch yourself. And that's a good way to kill things because, you know, there is no love without healthy risks. So if you want to miss out on the love of a lifetime, don't take any healthy risks.
What's an example of a healthy risk?
A healthy risk is this person, you know, has some likes that are very different than you.
Okay.
This person's family might actually look different than your upbringing. This person might be interested in like a weird hobby that you've never heard of, and you kind of, you know, it seems they invite you to go do something that's so far out of your comfort zone.
Yeah.
That's a healthy risk.
Okay.
If you value the potential of a relationship, then you have to be willing to stretch and do some new things.
I see. Okay. Great.
Good point.
Great.
All right. Number two. whatever you do, avoid Echo Retreats and do not go to echoretreats.com.
I love that. Yeah. Okay.
We're laughing, but we have seen a lot of people that have met somebody great and have made it all the way to the altar and are having fantastic marriages. In fact, one of our board members, you know, 10 years ago or so met their love of their lifetime on an Echo Retreat. And so it's a wonderful gift there. So, number one is, do not read or apply Psalm 37 verse 4 to your life.
Okay.
And what Psalm 37 verse 4 says is delight in the Lord and he will give you the desires of your heart.
Okay.
And I think so many times we can start to think that, this person that I haven't found yet, they're the one that is going to satisfy my heart. And it's not true. Nobody on planet Earth can. We're made for Jesus Christ himself. And if we remember that, that's when we're going to actually start to be able to fall in love with the right people here. But if you want to kill the love of a lifetime here, then just start to act like whoever you date next is going to satisfy your heart.
Mm-hmm.
And that's a great way to frustrate yourself and to hurt them and to make an idol out of an icon.
Wow.
I'm going to add one more. 1.8. 1A, don't make God the center of your relationship. I think that is the key, is to make God the center of your relationship, whether you guys are dating, engaged, or married, and to pray together as well. It is transformative, and it really brings you guys together, and it can help solve a lot of problems as well. But Brian, I have seen it in so many couples. There are dating apps, these shows. No matter if you're the most beautiful person in the entire world, a lot of these people are still alone because they're not finding what the true meaning of love is, and that it is through God as well. So where can they go, Brian? We are out of time, to find out more about what you do with Echo and to attend an Echo retreat.
Yeah, definitely do not go to echoretreats.com.
Love it. Thank you so much.
Thank you, Bryce.
Happy Holy Week. So we were supposed to have this conversation on Valentine's Day, but we ended up not having this interview. So I'm so glad that we
still
had Brian
good.
On
yes.
to reschedule. But stay with us. Scott Smith is joining us next to talk about near-death experiences. It's half past the hour on Wake Up.
After the hour on this Tuesday morning, and speaking of Scott L. Smith, he's going to be with us right now. Yeah. He is a Catholic attorney, as he just mentioned in his message prior to coming back to the studio, and he is also an author of a new book entitled Near Death Experiences. And it has nothing to do with our prior segment with Brian Butler and dating. I don't think, but Scott is here to enlighten us. Good morning, Scott.
Hey, good morning, y'all.
So tell us a little bit about, you know, these near-death experiences. I've read different books, but you've kind of compiled a number of stories into one book. Tell us about it.
Yeah, sure. I think this is a really important project. It's specifically Catholic near-death experiences.
Oh, okay.
We have a lot of books out there that a lot of people are interested in, a lot of people are reading, making mm-hmm. movies out of, even maybe committing a little fraud about their mm-hmm. minutes in heaven. But this is all coming from a non-denominational, evangelical perspective. It's all Protestant. There's very few books out there that are, there are a couple Catholic near-death experience books by individuals, like of their own experience, but there's no comprehensive set or treatment of Catholic near-death experiences. And so I think this is a missed opportunity for evangelism. I think people are craving knowledge of what happens, you know, of the last things, but they're reading a vision of heaven that is inaccurate and incomplete because it doesn't involve the Blessed Mother or purgatory or any of these things.
And what makes you say that? Because that's going to be the first question that anyone would ask is, what makes a Catholic near-death experience different from a Protestant one?
Right, exactly. And it's funny, the idea for this book came from a non-denominational friend of mine that has written in this arena, has written books in this niche, and was like, hey, look, there's nothing Catholic really out here. So y'all need to step up your game. And it's interesting, what they do, what Protestants do, is it's all contemporary near-death experiences. We have a long history of near-death experiences dating back to the Bible. There's biblical near-death experiences, and no one's really spoken about, and those are really exciting. St. Paul, Jonah.
Hey, I know one. How about Lazarus?
Yeah, and
that's more than near death.
Yeah. And we have these people that were resurrected in the Old Testament. Sometimes we don't necessarily have any narrative of what they saw. Mm-hmm. We just have that they were resurrected, and sometimes we do. And then we have popes speaking on this subject. Pope St. Gregory the Great, one of the most amazing popes in our history, speaks about the phenomenon. We have St. Teresa of Avila, was dead for 4 days, then spoke about her near-death experience. Padre Pio comes up, as you might expect, mm-hmm. all the time in people's near-death experiences. So we run the full gamut of history, right? With the Protestant denominations, it's contemporary, but as always, the Catholic Church, we go so much deeper, so much longer, so much richer. And that needs to be told. That story needs to be told.
Scott, this is David. Can you give us an example, like of just a short example of the difference between a Catholic one and a contemporary one, just in kind of in a nutshell, somebody's experience?
Sure, yeah. And this is, speaking of Catholic radio and Catholic media, mm-hmm. Mother Angelica actually interviewed Father Stephen Shire. I think it was 5 to 10 years ago. He has since passed away. Mm-hmm. But here again, we have a difference that this is a Catholic priest who had a near-death experience. This is a contemporary account, so it is kind of comparing apples to apples. And Father Stephen Shire, when he died the first time, he was taken to heaven and was taken to his particular judgment. All right, so there you're going to have some disagreement with Protestants about the particular and general judgment. And then in his particular judgment, he was found, his judgment was hell. And
wow.
Here's the difference, and which is shocking for a priest, right?
Yes.
But here's the difference. As soon as that judgment was pronounced, then he heard this beautiful voice, this voice of a beautiful feminine voice that was advocating for him, that was pleading his cause. And that changes everything, right? Mm. Because the Blessed Mother is our advocate in heaven.
Wow.
And we don't hear about that from other stories.
So does he basically state that it was her who brought him back to life to have a second chance because of the fact that he was treating the sacrament of confession as not a big deal?
Exactly. That's exactly what happened. He wasn't, it was that time, you know, in our recent history where he didn't really have a belief that there's a supernatural quality to the Eucharist, to confession, and he was treating it kind of as a workaday sort of phenomenon, and the Blessed Mother pleaded that he would have another chance. He was restored to life. His car accident is a gruesome car accident. To all those driving, please be safe.
Yeah.
Don't trust on your death experience.
Wow. Yeah.
My goodness.
Scott, how it seems like a lot of the Catholic versions of near-death experiences, they do get a vision of hell, of purgatory. Sometimes they don't even get to heaven, right? They just see certain visions, and then they come back and share those stories.
Yeah, and that's what's interesting about the Catholic experience of this phenomenon is there are visions of heaven, hell, and purgatory constantly happening in our history, whether or not they're connected to a near-death experience, like Fatima.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
right?
That's true.
The children are shown hell, and it's really terrifying. So, I mean, we have this all the time, but what is also different about our experiences, and one of our local people that have had near-death experience, Sandra Abrahams from Lake Charles, she talks about her experience of purgatory. Right, which you don't see in the other side of this story. That's, or they talk about, like, Protestants will talk about purgatory, but they'll just kind of gloss over it as like a waiting period, but not acknowledge that it is purgatory.
Yeah.
And the sad thing is, there are so many people in purgatory who in life did not believe in purgatory, and whose families did not believe in purgatory. So now that they're in purgatory, there's no one to pray for them in purgatory except for the Catholics.
Oh, wow.
And so what happens? Do they ever get to heaven? Do they choose hell?
Well, everybody in purgatory eventually will get to heaven.
Yeah. Okay, good.
Right?
Yeah, that's the good part.
Yeah.
it's a great relief for all of us that might end up there.
Right.
But it's the masses said, it's the Catholic masses said for the dead that will eventually be their get out of purgatory card. That's what will get them out of purgatory, and the Catholics praying for them.
And
that's why we need to tell this story.
In the final 30 seconds, what was your big takeaway in all this? And then we're going to give everyone where they can get the book.
My biggest takeaway is one book is not nearly enough.
All the
stories of Catholic experiences. It wouldn't be enough to tell just all the stories of Padre Pio's involvement mm-hmm. in near-death experiences with all his spiritual children and grandchildren. It's staggering, the history, the Catholic history of these events that's out there and has not been told.
Wow. And how many stories are in this first book?
That's a good question. I don't have a number off the top of my head. I think we focus on something like 15.
Okay.
Wow.
Very good.
And there's more to come then.
Yeah. Apparently so, based on, and I'm intrigued. I can't wait to get my hands on it because these stories are always intriguing, and I love to read about visions that people have, including the saints. Scott, if they want to get the book, SophiaInstitute.com, right?
Right. It should be out after Easter in that season of resurrection, right?
There you go.
But this summer sometime.
Okay, so it's not even out yet.
We got the plug.
Go to SophiaInstitute.com or give them a call and get on the early waiting list.
There you go.
All right, coming up next, Scott, thank you for being with us. Scott L. Smith, attorney here in the Baton Rouge area. We've got more on Waco.
Past the hour, you are tuning your heart to the truth. I'm David Dawson, along with Damian Collado, and right now we are joined by Jeff Young. He's the executive director of Franciscan Works. And did I?
John Young.
John. Okay. John Young.
J-O-H-N.
J-O-H-N. Okay, thank you. I'm looking right at it, too. Anyway, he's the executive director of Franciscan Works, and he's going to talk about their ministry. Good morning, John.
Good morning. Thank you so much for having me. No problem.
Sorry about that.
That's okay. No problem.
Well, look, tell us about Franciscan Works and what all you do.
Okay, so Franciscan Works is a U.S.-based nonprofit mm-hmm. that was actually began in 1972 in Wisconsin and began supporting missions in Honduras.
Okay.
But since 2003, it has been mainly involved with supporting Liberia Mission,
okay,
which is a mission in outside of the capital of Liberia, West Africa, the capital of Monrovia.
Mm-hmm.
And the mission is a orphanage, a school, and a faith community because we have a chapel where the local community comes to worship.
Okay.
And so Franciscan Works is a major grantor and fundraiser that supports Liberia Mission. And actually, I just began working for Franciscan Works this year. I was at Liberia Mission for 5.5 years, first as a communications and operations officer, making mm-hmm. photos, videos, and helping with general operations, and then actually being director for 4 years up until January of this year.
Now, they're based in Chicago, but you're a local guy, yeah. Or are you? Where is it based now?
Yeah, it's based in Chicago.
Okay.
The majority of operations are out of there. Board members, a big community of support there in the Archdiocese of Chicago, like in the Kennedy Directory
okay.
for the Archdiocese of Chicago.
Right.
But a lot of us are spread out around the country. And I'm from New Orleans, born and raised.
Yeah.
And that's where I am now. Yes. And then we have, you know, people in New York and Oregon and Chicago, just all around. But I'm here in New Orleans right now.
You know, the beauty of this mission is it's not necessarily just giving to the poor and taking care of the poor. It's multidimensional, especially about the faith life, right?
Oh, absolutely. You know, it's kind of a word that's used a lot these days, but it does aptly explain that, you know, that holistic
okay.
Word mm-hmm. where we try to take care of the whole individual,
yeah.
Our motto. Or the motto at Liberia Mission is God, Education, Work. And we try to instill those values in that order. God comes first. Then, of course, got to get your education down so that you can become a good, faith-filled, working individual for your community and nation,
right.
Which Liberia desperately needs right now.
You know, Liberia had gone through some hard times. What kind of condition was it in and when you guys came along?
Well, exactly. The mission was started on November 3rd, 2003,
mm-hmm.
which was within a month after the ceasefire of a 13-year civil war
that
wreaked havoc in the 90s and early 2000s, completely devastated the country. I mean, before this civil war, Liberia was like at the top. Other nations in Africa would come to seek its counsel.
It
just had a really thriving nation, but due to this civil war and just the infrastructure collapse, the physical buildings, the society, and it was just devastated. And of course, you had many orphans, and that's what Franciscan Works responded to in that time. Were a lot of children that became orphans due to the war. Many, hundreds of thousands of Liberians died.
Okay, and then I believe I read that COVID also had a horrible effect on them as well. Is that right?
Well, before that, the other huge blow was Ebola in 2014.
Ebola. Okay, I'm sorry. Ebola, yeah. Yes.
No, Ebola, right. Yeah, Ebola was devastating. I was actually there. I wasn't at Liberia Mission. I was at another mission because I went to Liberia first in 2013. And so I did see the Ebola epidemic, and it devastating. Many Liberians actually said it was worse than the war, which was hard to imagine. But for them, the way that it affected the society and the devastation it caused, for some Liberians, they actually considered it worse than war.
My goodness. So you guys are coming along, and what you have is poverty. You've got, I'm sure, depression. You're just starting from the ground up, first bringing them Christ and then growing from there, right?
Absolutely, yeah. I mean, God comes first. And so creating the spiritual foundation, it will give these children, the individuals, even, the employees, we serve everybody, and it gives them the spiritual foundation that when you encounter difficulties and challenges, as you will, and especially in Liberia, if you lean on God, you will have a peace and he will see you through. So yeah. That's the first thing. And then the skills come after that. So we try to do the spiritual foundation first and then give them the education and the life skills so that they can become productive citizens for their country.
How is the situation in Liberia now? Is it improving?
I will say it's improving. I want to be optimistic.
Sure.
I have a personal passion for Liberia that grew from my time there. And it's a country I desperately want to see move forward. And so I do try to take a positive outlook. Actually, one thing that happened in the past few months was an incumbent president. His name was George Weah. He was a soccer superstar, became president. Well, he lost his election, his re-election campaign. And in something that's very, very rare in African politics, he conceded the election right away, didn't try to battle it, didn't try to restructure the Constitution,
right.
And peacefully ceded power to his his opponent.
Yeah,
Joseph Boakai. So that transition, peaceful transition of power because of the civil war path,
is huge,
and it was actually a model for the rest of the countries in Africa to follow. So, kudos to Liberia for that.
A major step forward.
Yeah. How long have you all been there, John?
Since 2003. So we just celebrated our 20th anniversary in November. Now is a big celebration there.
Very good.
Now I'm seeing you've got a lot of support from Louisiana. I think that is fantastic. Talk about that.
Well, yes.
We only have 30 seconds, I'm afraid. But
I'm so proud of that. We have a great well of support from Louisiana, especially around the Baton Rouge area, I want to say, Louisiana, Baton Rouge.
Okay.
And so I'm looking, I would love to develop that personally as a Louisiana native. And I lived in Baton Rouge when I went to LSU for a year. And so I just hope that we can all work together for Liberia Mission, Louisiana and Liberia Mission.
Oh, well, John, how can folks help out? Where do they go?
www.franciscanworks.org.
Franciscanworks.org.
Franciscanworks.org.
Great.
We you can mail in donations, donate online. You can call us. We'll explain, walk you through everything. But
wonderful.
Then, yeah.
Thank you, John.
www.franciscanworks.org. Thank you.
Okay. Appreciate you joining us. God bless.
Thank you so much. God bless.
God bless.
I just love hearing stories like that, though.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And St. Catherine of Genoa, dealt a lot with the poverty and in her time, and we're going to offer up a prayer for her intercession for those folks in Liberia and elsewhere, Haiti as well.
Yes.
In the name of the Father, Son, Holy Spirit, amen. Pray for us that we tend to the needs of our family and the poor, our body and soul, using all the graces and blessings that God has bestowed upon us. Glory be to the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit, as it was in the beginning, is now, and ever shall be, world without end. Amen.
Amen.
In the name of the Father, Son, Holy Spirit. Amen.
Thank you, Damian. Tomorrow's show, we're going to have Johnny Hebert is going to be joining us. Peter Finney, he's the general manager of the Clarion Herald, is going to talk about what's going on in the Archdiocese. Dr. Boniface Hicks talking about praying the silence of the Mass. And Dr. Jordan Haddad, we're going to be talking theology. Thanks for joining us. We'll see you tomorrow on Wake Up.
Wake Up is a production of Catholic Community Media.